Today's shir is Masechta Yuma Daf Nun Zayin. We will begin on Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah that after they did the Hazor with the Dam Hapar and the Dam Hasor in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then they did similarly Hazor with the Dam Hapar and Dam Hasor in the Kodesh, in the Heichel, facing the proiches. As we learned in the Mishnah, Vehizmim men al proiches, they spritzed on the proiches, Knegra Aron, from the place where the Aron was, Mibachutz, from outdoors. So the Braisa comes to discuss exactly how was it done. Tan Rabbanan, the Pasuk says, Vechipa al kodesh metumas b'nei Yisrael, u'mipishyem l'chol chatosam, and the question that the Braisa wants to address is, what does the Pasuk have to say, V'chein Yaseh L'Oil Moyed? What does the Torah have to speak about V'chein Yaseh? Or, as I sort of see, Yitzchak explains, the Torah, as we read, starts V'chipa L'Kodesh, that we're affecting a Kapori here. And the Gemara's question is, what is the connection of making, what is the connection of making a kapara together with Kein Yasa El Moed? Matam Eloimer, what is the Torah teaching us here? To teach us, says the Braisa, Kshem Shemaz Lefnei Lefnim, just like there was a Hazor done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Kach Mazel Behechel. The Torah says that we do similarly a Hazor, we do similarly Hazor in the Heichel. And as the Mefarshim explained, we learn the Hazor on the Proiches from the Hazor that took place on the Kapoiris. And just like, says the Sefer Ner Shmuel, they did a Hazor in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we learned Bein Badei Ha'orin, on the spot between the two poles of the Aron Kodesh. So too, when they did a Hazor on the Proiches, outside in the Kodesh, they did it on the spat, on the proiches, facing the spat, which was Bein Badei Aron, between the two poles of the Aron Kodesh. On that spat, which we learned previously, actually, that the poles of the Aron Kodesh were protruding into the proiches. So in that spat where they were protruding, that's the spat where they did the Hazor facing the proiches. Malfnai lefnim. Furthermore, says the Braisa, just like we learned when the Kohen Gadol does a Hazor in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the way it was done was achas lamal of sheva lamatim midam apar. So too, kach mazah behechel. So too, in the Kodesh, the way the Hazor was done was achas lamala v'sheva lamata. Ukshem shlofnai lefnim. And just like in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they did a Hazor of echas lamala v'sheva lamata of the Dam Hasor, so too they did in the Heichel achas lamala v'sheva lamata of the Dam Hasor. The Pasuk says, v'chein yasel oil moyed hashoichen itam b'soich t'mosam. So we learn from here, says the Braisa, afilu b'shah shein t'meim, even when Klal Yisrael are unfortunately tamei, still Shechina imam, under all circumstances, the Shechina remains with us. And says the Gemara, Amalei hahu minah Rav Chanina, there was this apikiris that said to Rav Chanina, hash the bari, in a situation where you are bari tameim, that you are certainly tamei, diksiv, as the Pasuk says, tumasa b'shalaha, Klal Yisrael are tamei, Tumas b'shaleah, as a nida, it's noticeable, is tamei, because her clothing is dirty from the dam nida. So you are not just tamei, but your tumah is noticeable. Amalei, and that's why he wanted to say that Klal Yisrael's level has diminished tremendously. We are now in the status of being tamei. Amalei, Rav Chanina responded to that apikoros. He said, "Tachazim aksibu." But let's continue reading the pasuk. And what does it say about Klal Yisrael? Hashoichen itam besoich tumasam. And we learn from here, Philip is hanshein tameim. Even when Klal Yisrael is unfortunately tamei, Shechina shuri b'neim. The Shechina is with us. No matter what happens, Klal Yisrael is like is not completely separated. And as the Mashal explains, even when Klal Yisrael, unfortunately, is in a situation of tumah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not completely separated himself from us. And the explanation, the simple explanation I saw the Mefarshim give, is that we know that when a husband and wife are married, so even though the wife becomes a nida, and the husband, when the wife is a nida, has to separate himself from her, he doesn't separate himself to the degree that they're not allowed to be married and stay in the same home. They just may not have relations anymore. And that's what the Gemara means to say here. The tumah of Klal Yisrael, when we are in Golus, is the tumah of a nida, which is not a total separation. But then I saw a different pshat from the Sefer Yalkut Yeshua. He says that the Gemara says in Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Tes, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is considered a Kohen. And we know that a Kohen may not be Metame himself. And therefore, this Min was saying to Rav Chanina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like a Kohen. And once you're Tamei, he has to separate himself from you. Why do we respond back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why did he respond back? But we're Banim Lamakim. We're HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. And a Kohen, even though he may not be Matama himself, to his children, he is allowed to be Matama. And we are the Banim Lamakim, and therefore, we are not totally separated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, I saw the Tzofnas Paneach points out from the Baal Shem, that even though we're learning now, Hashoichen Itam B'Toich Sumasam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu remains with us even when we are Tamei, but somebody who Rachmana Litzlan is a Baal Gaiva, the Pasuk says, Gva Einayim Rechav Levav Oysei Le'ucho, and the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Hei Amin Aleph explains, Al Tikri Oysei El Itoi, Itay Le'uchal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pronounces that I cannot remain together with somebody who's a Baal Gaiva. And what the Gemara is teaching us is that even though Klal Yisrael, Rachman Tzlan, Atame, so our Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu still remains connected to us. But if we become so Tame that we are Baal Gaiva Chas V'Shalom, says the Pasuk, Oysa Le'uchal, Itay Le'uchal, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't remain with us. But ask the Gemara. We just started our shiur today that we learned the hazars that took place in the Heichel, in the Kodesh, from the hazars that took place in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Ask the Gemara, V'chidova alome behekish, choyz alome behekish. There's a klal as far as Hilchus Kodeshim go that we can't learn a double hekish. And as the Mefarshim will point out, this is a rule unique to Hilchus Kodeshim, which we are obviously studying now. So how can we learn a Hekesh if we already learned a Hekesh? This that we do, Achas Lamala, V'sheva Lamata, of the Par and the Sor, was yesterday learned through a Hekesh, that we do that both by the Par and the Sor. And this, and then today's year, asked the Gemara, we're learning another Hekesh to say that so too was done in the Kodesh. So isn't that a situation of a Hekesh, of something that was learned with a Hekesh, that we want to learn again with a Hekesh? And the rule, as I just said, is that we can't learn a double Hekesh. Answers the Gemara, this is not considered a double Hekesh, because hai hi men of a dava acher. We don't only have a Hekesh. Part of the limud is learned from what it says beferish in the pasuk, explicitly in the pasuk. Part of it is learned through a Hekesh. When is there a problem, suggests the Gemara, of a double Hekesh? When we're relying totally on a Hekesh. Here, we're not relying totally on Hekeshim, and that's not considered, if I have a Hekesh, is not considered a double Hekesh. In other words, the chiyuv of spritzing the blood of the par above and the chiyuv of spritzing the dam of the sar below is stated explicitly in the pasuk. The only thing that we need the hekesh is to teach us how many sprinklings there are in each case. So since it's only partially a hekesh, that's not considered a hekesh. It's not considered a regular hekesh that we have this rule. Ask the Gemara, Hanich lamanda amar lo have a hekesh. This is actually the subject of a machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. If we have a situation of himenu b'davar acher, is it considered a hekesh or not? Where the opinion is of Rabbi Akiva that himenu b'davar acher lo have a hekesh is not considered a hekesh, is not considered double hekesh, but Rabbi Shmuel holds it is considered double hekesh. So according to Rabbi Akiva, we have successfully answered the question. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, we still have the question. Hanich lamanda amar, according to Rabbi Akiva, lo have a hekesh. El lamanda amar, according to Rabbi Shmuel, this is still considered double hekesh. So we're back to our original question. Ma'ika lamemer answers the Gemara. Mekaymus hu de gemir me'adadi. This is not considered a double hekesh, because the subject of the two hekeshim are not the same. The first hekesh, as we said a moment ago, is coming to teach us that you did achas lamala v'sheva lamata, both by the sar and both by the par. The second hekesh is not coming to teach us that halacha. It's coming to teach us that just like we did Hazar in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so too we have to do Hazar in the Kodesh. So since the two Hakeshim are not teaching the same thing, that is not considered double Hekesh. And then the Gemara offers another Teretz. Ibai say Mechutz Mefnim B'chadazim the Gemara. The way Rabbeinu Chananel explains the Gemara, that this should not be viewed as two separate hekeshim. It's all one big hekesh. And the Torah is teaching us that we have to do achas lamala, v'sheva lamata, both in the Kodesh and both in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And therefore, since it's not considered two separate hekeshim, we don't have a problem of a double hekesh. Says the Gemara, Tana, keshumaza, when they spritzed in the Kodesh from the dam of the par and from the dam of the soil, they did not do hazor on the proichus itself. El kenegad proichus. They only did it facing the proichus. Amr belozer Rabbi Yosi. Ani receiba beroimi. The Gemara Masechta Meila, Daf Yud Zayin Amabeis, tells us that Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai and Rabbi Yosi were traveling to Rome because the Roman Empire had made decrees against the Jews, and they met a shade whose name was Ben Tamalian, who wanted to help them have this decree overturned. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai said to him, as long as you'll be helpful that we could get this gezeira overturned, please help us. So what happened was, Ben Tamalian came to Rome, and he entered the body of the daughter of the king, of the Roman emperor, and she was mentally affected. And Rav Shimon ben Yochai came to Rome. He was the one that got Ben Tamalian to leave her, and she was healed. So the emperor said that they could go into his treasure house and take as reward whatever they wanted. They weren't interested in anything physical, anything financial. There were a number of decrees that were there against the Jews that they ripped up. But while they were in that room, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi saw some of the kelim from the Beis HaMikdash that were taken from the Romans, by the Romans, at the time of the Churban HaBayis. So Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi reports, Ani received a roimi, I saw the proichus in roimi, v'hoyela kamatip edam, they had on it a number of drops of blood, shapar v'sar shem kippurim. So this is clearly, says the Gemara, a proof that the dam did actually touch the proichus. Ask the Gemara, why is that proof? As we learned, if Bezin issues an erroneous psak the halacha is that, and Klal Yisrael acted based on that incorrect psak, we have to bring a par halam dover shotzibur. If they made an erroneous psak regarding avodah zarah, then the halacha is they have to bring siri avodah zarah. And these are unique type of kamechatas, which are not like the usual kamechatas, which is brought on the mizbeach achitzin. Rather, these kabanas chatas, the dam is they spritz the dam on the proiches. So says the Gemara, just because you saw dam on the proiches is not necessarily an indication that that's the way you spritz the dam of the par and sar Yom Kippur. Maybe the dam that you saw is the par v'sar of the par halam dov shetzibur and the sir avodah zarah. Answers the Gemara, it couldn't have been that way. The blood was going down in a row. And as we learned earlier, that on Yom Kippur, that's the way the blood was put on, was sprinkled. Achas lamala v'sheva lamata. Moreover, the Meiri points out that when the Kohen stood to do the Hazah on Yom Kippur, he stood right next to the Proichus. So it's very possible that the dam was on the proiches. However, by the Paralam Dovah Shotzim and the Sir Avodah Zarah, they were standing far away by the Mizbeach, Hapnimi, and like that they were spritzing. So the likelihood of the dam touching was much less likely. Says the Gemara, Tanan Nami, but says the Gemara, we learned in a Mishnah as well regarding the Paralam Dovah Shotzim, Kai Gavna, that it says Shumaz Loya Noigim Proiches. When they spritzed the blood, they didn't touch the proiches. Vim Nogu Nogu. But if it did touch, it doesn't become disqualified. To which Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi comments, Ani Rasi Baroimi. I saw the proiches in Rome. Voila Kamine Tip Adam Shapalam Dovah Shotzibur V'Seir Avodah Zarah. Clearly, an indication that if they touch, it's not a problem. Says the Gemara. What makes you say that it was the dam of the par halam dovah shotzibur and the sir avodah zarah, and teaching us that if they touch, it's not a problem? Maybe v'dima the par v'sar shem kippurim ninu. And as we said a moment ago, it makes more sense to say it was that dam because it was spritzed so much closer. And says the Gemara, what proved it to him was the chazinu davdish like a sidrim. They weren't straight in a line. And the way most Rishonim explain, that the par of Yom Kippur and the Sar Yom Kippur, the dam has to be spritzed in a straight line. Versus the dam and par of the par of Dovah Shetzibur and the Sar Avodah Zarah don't have that rule. Other Rishonim I saw explain that by the par of Yom Kippur, there were a total of 8 hazahs. Whereas by the par of Dovah Shetzibur and the Sar Avodah Zarah, there were only 7 hazahs, and he saw 8. So here we see that Rabbi Elazar ben Yossi said that he saw proiches with drops of blood in them. Says the Yerushalmi that Rabbi Elazar's testimony is not a contradiction to what the Tanakhama said, that it didn't touch the proiches. Because what the Tanakhama meant to say was, it doesn't have to touch the proiches, but if it did, it's still not disqualified. However, there are many Rishonim that are of the opinion that we actually have a machloikus here. That there's a machloikus between the Tanakhama and Belozer. And Tanakhama said that they're not allowed to touch. And Belozer says that they touched. Because the Tosfos Rosh explains that if there was no halachic requirement for the dam of the Hazor to touch on the proiches, then the Kohen Gadol would have been careful to make sure that no blood touched the proiches. The fact, says Rabbi Elazar, that there was proiches, there was dam on the proiches, is a proof that not only is it a proof that it's absolutely required. Tosfos Yeshanim has a different approach, and the same approach is said by the Ritva. They say Rabbi Elazar agrees that it's possible that the dam that touched the proiches might be just some stray drops. But the fact that there was such a large amount of blood found on the proiches is an indication that the Kohen Gadol deliberately put the sprinkle the blood on the parochus. So the fact that he saw a lot of blood is the proof that it's what's required. And there's actually, according to him, a machloikis of what happened. Is it required, as the opinion of Rebbe Lozer, or is it not required, like the opinion of the Rabbanim? Nesavalei damim b'damim. So Gemara continues, what happens if the dam ha'par and the dam ha'sor got mixed up? So Rashi explains that this mix-up that we're discussing right now in the Gemara is even before any dam was sprinkled, even in the Kodesh HaGadoshim. Many Rishonim disagree, and they say that we're not talking about that it got mixed up before they were spritzed in the Kodesh HaGadoshim. Rather, what happened was that in the Kodesh HaGadoshim, it was done properly. And then, before they brought it out to the Heichel, at which we're discussing in today's shiur, they have to do again Hazor and the Heichel, the Dam of the Par and the Dam of the Sor got mixed up. Says Rava, Amar Rava, nice and achas lamal of a shev lamata. We do one hazor lamal of a shev lamata that has a combination of a dam apar of a sar, v'oiloloi, and that will be able to take care lakan alakan, both for the hazor for the par and both for the hazor for the sar. Says the Gemara. And of course, as we're going to learn in tomorrow's shir, that even though it's more dam par, there's much more blood from a bull than there is from a sar, the halacha we're going to learn is ain dam mevatlam zazeh. The two types of blood aren't mematl one each other. And Rav is obviously going to hold that even though, as we've been learning in this Masechta so many times, that the sequence of which the avodah is spoken about in the Torah is essential, here it's not a problem because it's not that he took the dam asor before the dam apar. Indeed, if he would take the dam asor before the dam apar, then it would be a problem. Here, he took them together. When you're taking them together, it's not considered out of sequence. Says the Gemara, Amrua kameid Rabbi Yirmiya. So they said this psak that Rava offered to this discussion to Rabbi Yirmiya. So Rabbi Yirmiya commented, Ba'abloi tapshoi, the people from Babel are foolish, because they live in a place which is dark. Bavel, we know, is in a valley, and that's why it's dark there. Amri shmatz the machashkin, that they say things that are incorrect. Because hakayav lamaldesar, because if we're going to do this, it's going to turn out that we did the hazor of the sor on tap, Mikami mata the par, before we finish doing the azor of the par, the Torah Amra, and the Torah says regarding the avoid on Yom Kippur, v'chila makaper as a kodesh, kalei dama par, finish doing everything you have to do with the par, and only after that, v'achkach kalei dama sor. So if we're going to have this mixed together blood of the dama par and dama sor together, and we're going to do one spritz on top for the par and the sor, it turns out we're doing the lamala the sor before the lamata the par. Elo am Rabbi Yirmiya, says Rabbi Yirmiya, what should be done in such a circumstance? Nois an achas lamala v'shev lamata l'shem par. First do achas lamala v'shev lamata for the sake of the par. And then repeat, v'choiz v'noisun achas lamala v'shev lamata l'shem asar. So the Gemara here says that the Bavloim are considered tapshoim. Posh pshat is because they live in a dark place, so they say things that are dark. They don't understand what they're saying. But the question is that the Ritva quotes the Rambam that the Gemara says that the Tamidei Chachamim of Bavel were greater than the Tamidei Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael. So how do we understand these two statements? So the Rambam says there were different periods of history. In some periods of history, the Talmidei Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael were greater than the Talmidei Chachamim of Bavel. And in other periods of our history, the Talmidei Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael were greater than Bavel. And they were living in a time when Talmidei Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael were greater than the Talmidei Chachamim of Bavel. So Tosfos asks that the Torah says, Chukas Olam, that you're not allowed to change the order. Why do we have to also have the pasuk of the chila mechaper es hakodesh? So Tosfos answers that if I only had the pasuk of chukas olam, I would learn that you're not allowed to take an entire avoda out of order. Here, we're not taking an entire avoda out of order, and therefore maybe we would think that's acceptable. That's why the Torah has to also say v'chila mechaper, that even parts of the avoda have to be done in the proper order. So the question is, if we hold mitzvahs ein tzriches kavana, so what's pshat that I'm doing the dam apar first? If there's mixed into this dam, also dam asor, it automatically takes care of the sar blood as well. So the Rishonim answer, two answers. One is that if you specifically have in mind not to be yotze mitzvah, even if you hold mitzvahs ein tzriches kavana, that means you don't have to have specific kavana. But hepach kavana, if you deliberately have in mind not to be yotze the mitzvah, everybody agrees that that's not considered an issue. Here, based on what Rabbi Yirmiyah said, what the Kohen Gadol should do is have in mind that I'm only trying to be yotze the hazar of the par with this mixed blood, and not at all be yotze with the sar. Others say, the Ritva suggests that this conversation about mitzvah tzriches kavana or mitzvah ein tzriches kavana is only said when you're doing a mitzvah. But if it's not the time for doing the mitzvah, then if you're not doing it properly and you don't have kavana to do the mitzvah, you're certainly not fulfilling a mitzvah. Continues the Gemara with a different shaila. Nesav loy damim bedamim b'matanas achronis. After you did achs lamala from the dam apar, and you didn't do the zayin lamata, what do you do now? And at that point, the two different types of blood got mixed up. So he thought what you should do is noisen seven lamata l'shem par l'shem sar, do seven hazars on the bottom and have in mind both the par and the sar, and then Rava commented, till now you called it, we considered you fools. Now with this psak, you're really foolish. The Kamarina like Gemiri, that we teach you, that we just taught you a halacha, and you don't seem to be learning your lesson. Because in this case, we have the way you suggested what you should do creates a real problem. Because the koyov matted the sor becoming mala the sor. You're putting the bottom part of the sor because you said it got mixed up after you did the achs lamal of the par. So you're going to put now zayin lamata. And we say when you're putting the zayin lamata, you have in mind both the par and the sor. And then afterwards, you're going to do the lamalam and sor. But that's, then you're reversing the order, where you're doing the lamat of the sor before the lamal of the sor. And the Torah is very specific to take lamala to do the upper part, vakach lamatam. El Amar Rava. Rava says, what you should do with this mixed blood is take shev lamata, do seven hazars on the bottom, and have in mind that they should be l'shem par, and then you do chayz v'nois and achs l'mal v'shev l'mata l'shem sar. Ask the Gemara a different situation. This arvloi kaisis b'kaisis. You have cups of blood. That means they caught the blood from after the shechita in a mizrik, in a bowl, and you pour them into the cups. And we have now a number of cups. Before you did any hazor, but I don't know the status of these cups. Which one is the par blood and which is the sar blood? So the Mefarshim asked, we learned in a previous year that the color, the shade of red of the par blood and the shade of red of the sar blood is not the same shade. So why can't you tell which is which that way? So the Meiri and the Bach both explain that because we're speaking about a Kohen Gadol, who's maybe an older individual, we're speaking about a Kohen Gadol, we keep on referring Chol Shel Kohen Gadol. So because we have all of these factors, that's why he wasn't able to discern that way which is the power and which is the sar. And as I saw, the Siach Yitzchak explains, when we learned in the Gemara that the shade of red of the power blood and the shade of red of the sar blood is not identical, is not the same, it doesn't mean that they're completely different. Obviously, blood is blood, and blood is always red. What the Gemara meant to say was that there were different shades of red, and therefore it's not so easy to tell, and that's not going to be a method how to tell what. So says the Gemara, what you should do is, noisin v'chois v'noisin shalosh pamim. Take each cup and do everything achs lamal v'sheva lamata from one cup, and then the second cup, and then do it again. And the reason is it's going to work is as follows. If the first cup is the par blood, and the second cup is the sar blood, fantastic. Then you did everything great. If the first cup was the sar blood, so then it's considered as if it doesn't exist. Because if you're not supposed to do, as we keep on repeating, sar before par. So then you'll do the second cup, which is par blood, and then you'll do over again that sar blood. So no matter how you look at it, you didn't have a problem that you did the par before the par. But you're going to have to do it three times. And Rashi points out that this is what's going to have to happen both when you spritz the dam in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and when you spritz the dam in the Heichel. We're going to have to repeat this process. But the Mefarshim ask, as we learn this way of solving the problem, that why isn't there an issue here about Tosif? If the Torah says that we're supposed to spritz twice and you're doing it three times, so why isn't there a concern that we know the Torah says we're not allowed to do Baal Tosif? So the Ritva says a very important rule when we speak about Baal Tosif. The Ritva says that the issue about Tosif doesn't exist when you're doing something because of a suffix. For example, the Ritva discusses that if somebody puts on tefillin on Chol HaMoed because he's not sure if there is a mitzvah to put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed or not, he says there is no problem in doing so because you're doing it because of a suffix. And if you're doing it because of a suffix, you're not sure if there's a chiv to wear tefillin or not on Chol HaMoed, that isn't considered a situation about Tosif. Similarly, says the Ritva, we know we're not quite sure what is the proper way to blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah. So we blow Tekiah Shvarim Tekiah, Tekiah Teruah Tekiah, Tekiah Shvarim Teruah Tekiah. And why isn't there a concern about Tosif? And again, the Ritva says there is no issue about Tosif when you're doing something because it's a suffix, and we're blowing all these different ways on Rosh Hashanah because we're not quite certain which is the proper way how to blow shofar. Similarly, the Shilti Gebarim says, we in Chutz Laaretz who keep Yontav a second day, and we take we blow shofar on the second day, we eat matzah on the second day of Pesach, it isn't about Tosif because we're doing it because of a suffix. And the Tor says the same applies to people who put on two pair of tefillin, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. There is no issue about Tosif. He says about Tosif would mean only in a situation where I would make five boxes to the tefillin, where the Torah says you're supposed to have four boxes in the tefillin. But here you're putting on both pairs of tefillin because you have a suffix, and because you have a suffix, that isn't considered about Tosif. There's an interesting shaila that's discussed in the Shailas of Tshuvas B'Tzela Chochma, Chelik Dalet Simen Kuf Samachei. Somebody came to a place where he's going to be remaining, he's renting a room or whatever, where he's going to be there for more than 30 days. And there's a mezuzah on that door. And the question is, he's not quite certain about the kashrus of that mezuzah. Could he put on another mezuzah? Would it be about Tosif? So the Michsa Lazer paskin that there isn't an issue about Tosif under such a situation, because he's putting on the second mezuzah because he has a suffix on the kashrus of the first mezuzah, and that isn't considered Baal Tosif. The Shalos Shuvas Mramshik says that if somebody, we know that the mezuzah, this is in Yoredei Siman Resh Pei Zion, we know that the mezuzah is supposed to be put on the right side of the door. But somebody has a question, which is considered the right side? So he does, is he puts the mezuzah on both sides. Say that that isn't Baal Tosef. Why? Because since he's doing it he's doing it because he's not sure, that isn't, it's a suffix. And we're learning now, when you do something because of a suffix, it isn't considered Baal Tosef. But I saw that the Sefer Cheshukei Chemed actually says this, that we're saying that it's not Baal Tosef when you do, that there is no issue about Tosef when you're doing something because of a suffix, is actually a machloikis achroinim. The Magen Avraham clearly paskins, and that's why the Magen Avraham says you could put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed, because when it's a suffix, when you're doing something because of a suffix, there is a no problem about Tosef. However, the Cheshukei Chemed quotes a Mordechai. The Mordechai speaks about the Shaila regarding when to read the Megillah. We know that certain cities read the Megillah on Yud Dalar Adar, other cities read the Megillah on Tes Vav Adar. And the discussion is, if you're not quite sure what is the status of the city you are in, so can you read the Megillah both on Yud Dalar and Tes Vav? So the Mordechai says that that would be considered about Tosef. So we see that even though what you're doing is because of a suffix, it's still considered Baal Tosef. And actually, it seems the Mishnah Berurah follows that opinion as well. The Mishnah Berurah says that when somebody puts on in the morning both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, he should make a Tanai. And he should say the tefillin, Dor Adar tefillin, that we are required to wear. So when I'm putting them on, I'm putting them on to be Yotze the Mitzvah. And the other ones are just boxes. Why do you have to make that Tanai? If there's no problem about Tosef when you're doing it because of a suffix, you're not sure which is the right tefillin, Rashi or Beinu Tam, why would you have to make a Tanai? So we see that there is Baal Tosef, and to avoid the problem about Tosef, even in a place of suffix, the Mishnah Berurah tells us to make the Tanai. And he quotes similarly a Piskei Tshuva in Hilchos Mezuzah Yoredeya Siman Reish Tzadik Aleph Tzif Katan Beis, quotes a Chamida Daniel that says that, let's say somebody has a mezuzah on his door and it's very difficult to remove it to check. So he decides to put up a new mezuzah. Is it considered Baal Tosef? So the halacha is you can't do it. The Chamida Daniel says so. Rav Moshe paskins that way. Also, the Shalos Tshuvos Igros Moshe Yoredeya Chelek Aleph Siman Kupei Gimel. But it's not a good comparison, because there, the mezuzah that's difficult for you to take off may be a good mezuzah. And since it may be a good mezuzah, so therefore, if you're going to put up a second mezuzah, you have a question about Tosef. Here, we're speaking about a situation where it's a real suffix, so the comparison is not great. But he discusses a situation where somebody has two mezuzahs. One is, he knows, is a kosher mezuzah, and one is a kosher mezuzah, one is a pasul mezuzah, and he doesn't know which one is which. Could he put on both mezuzahs on the door? This is a question of a suffix. One is kosher, one is not. I just don't know which is which. So he says that maybe under those circumstances you should put up both mezuzahs, but it seems that he says because this is a difficult psak, you should put them both in one mezuzah case and have them, put them both up at the same time. Gemara discusses another suffix. Says the Gemara, mixes damim of the par and the sar and the sarvaloi. Some of the blood got mixed up. Or mixes damim and the sarvaloi. And some of the blood and nakex got mixed up. So says the Gemara, here we have no question. Pshita, it's obvious kiyav mivadonyav. If you have blood that you have no shayla on, and you have blood that there's a shayla, certainly use the blood that's not a shayla. But says the Gemara, the question that we're going to discuss is miu hanach, the blood that's the mixed up blood, are they considered shirayim? And the halacha is that the blood that's left over after he did zrikas adam is poured to the side, to the base of the mizbeach. Or dilma, Because, as we just said, you should use the blood that we know for sure is either Dama Par or Dama Sar, and not use the blood which is a mixture. So that blood is the Chuyin, is blood that was specifically pushed away, not to be used, and therefore blood that's disqualified is not poured on the Yisoid, but it's poured to the Amr, to the canal, to the drain. Says the Gemara, Amr Papa, feel a man the Amr. According to the mandamah that we're going to learn in the Braisa, that if somebody did Kabbalah Saddam in two cups, but he did all of the Zrikas from one cup, that the halacha is Kois Echer Oisa Chaveri Shraim, even though I did not in any way use the second blood, it's still considered Shraim, because Hanimili Hecha de Boil a Mace of Matzav Yav. Because in that situation, I have two cups of good blood. I decided to do all the hazars for one cup, which is fine. But I could have potentially used the other cup. And since I used the other cup, so that doesn't make it the chuyim. It's still shrayim. Aval hai, in our case, the boy lemeis of loy matziyov, that we only had when we have blood that we know clearly what its status is. And then we have blood which is mixed. We're not supposed to use the mixed blood. That is considered the Baila Mesiv, Loi Matsuyov. Loi, certainly that's considered Dochui and is not put on the Yisoid, but it's put onto the Oma. Oma Le Rufuna Breda Shul Rapapa Ad Rabba. I can make a counter argument. A Philomanda Omer, Kais Echad Oisach Averi Dochui, that the case that we just mentioned with the two cups of blood, where I chose to do all of the Zrikas from one cup and none from the other cup. So it makes the cup that I didn't use dachui. Hani mili dachui b'yadayim. Here, I deliberately made a choice to do all of the zrikas from this cup and none from the other cup. But perhaps, hech deloy dachui b'yadayim, where I didn't do it, it's the halacha that tells me use blood that there's no shayla on rather than using blood that there's a shayla, loy. That doesn't make it dachui. So Gemara now mentions the machloikis, if one cup makes the other cup dochui. And the Tanya, the Gemara says, Lamala, the Torah, where it speaks about the sor chatas of a nasir, the Torah says, Vestama yishbach yisoy mizbacha oila. And then Lamata, when the Torah speaks about the karma chatas that's brought by a regular individual, the Torah says, Veskol dama yishbach yisoy mizbeach. Menayin continues the brisa. Chatos kibbol dam ba'arba koisus. You did kabbal dam of the chatos in four separate koisus. V'nosin mizeh achas, mizeh achas shekul neshpach nisoid. We have to do numerous hazars on the mizbeach. So you did from different cups, different hazars. How do we know that all the any leftover in any cup is considered shrayim and is poured to the yisoid? As called domai yishbach yisoid mizbeach, as called domai, all the blood. Yochel, I feel not so called arba matanis miachas mehen. But what happens if you did all the matanis, all the azaz, just from one cup? That they should go also the leftover from those other cups which weren't used at all are also considered shrayim. Tamalaymer v'stomai yishbach. The blood in the cup which I used is poured, the leftover blood from the cup that I used is put on the side. Vehein, but the cups that I did not use at all, the shpachim loyim. That's the opinion of Tanakama. Rabbi Lazar, Shimon Oimer, Menayin l'chat shkivol dam b'arba koisus. V'nosin kol v'nosim arba matonisim achas mehen. I only used one cup. Shekul neshpachim yisoid. All the leftover blood, not just the leftover blood from the cup that I used, but even the cups that I didn't use at all, are considered shrayim. Tamaloyma, that's called dama yishbach. Ask the Gemara, but we have a pasuk, or Shlomo Shim, the pasuk that the Tanakhama based his decision on. Haksiv es dama yishbach. That means only the blood from the cup that I used, not blood from cups which I did not use at all. Amar Ravashi, he's going to say that pasuk is coming to teach us lemuti shirayim shabitzav behema, blood that's in the neck of the animal. He too will agree is not considered shirayim. He will agree that blood is not shirayim and that blood is not put on the yisoid. That blood is taken to the canal. And I saw the Rishonim explain why is that the halacha, because two explanations. Only something that had Kabbalah's Adam is considered blood through which I could do Zrika on. And any blood that I could do Zrika Saddam with is a blood that I have to pour to the shrine. But if I never did Kabbalah's Adam with that dam, if there was never Kabbalah's Adam, so this is blood that's completely disqualified for Zrika. Blood that's completely disqualified for Zrika certainly doesn't go to the Sodom Mizbeach. Certainly everybody would agree, even Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, that it doesn't fall into the category of Shirayim.